Welcome to the Four Seasons of Vacation Rental Investing podcast. Hey everyone, I'm your host, Krista Goodrich, aka the Boss Lady Investor. And I'm here along with my business partner, best friend, co-host, and fellow Boss Lady Investor, Kim Nguyen. We're going to help you guys navigate the vacation rental investment world. I have decades of real estate investing experience, while Kim is newer to the game, but we're both here to help you fall in love with vacation rental investing, whether you're a spring chicken newbie or a seasoned investor in the winter of your life. We'll teach you how to make your vacation rental investing experience as great as a cold beer on a summer day, because we both agree that nothing is more fun than traveling the world, meeting new people, creating beautiful spaces and experiences, and of course, making a ton of money along the way. We're two best friends and investment partners that are here to show you
it's never too late
or too early
to make now the best
and most profitable time of your life. You guys are in for a treat today. We met our next guest at the IMN Short-Term Rental Conference in Miami, and she just blew us away with her knowledge, how she built her business, how she got started in vacation rentals, and just the sheer amount of information and kindness she's been able to spread not only with us, but with all the people vacationing with her. Alma Bear and her family started vacationing in Puerto Rico 20 years ago and fell in love with the island. So much so that they decided to buy a vacation home in Vega Alta. And when the villa was not being used for family, Alma rented it out to other folks who in turn fell in love with Puerto Rico. From that time onwards, Alma grew the business into a full-service hospitality company with over 50 villas in the Paradise Villas and Vacations portfolio, focusing on delighting guests and renting responsibly. She is a proud member of the international organization VIRMA, Vacation Rental Management Association, and has received a professional accreditation as a VRMP, which stands for Vacation Rental Management Professional. Alma received a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Environmental Design from Parsons School of Design, and a master's in business administration, majoring in entrepreneurship from Babson College. Prior to her hospitality career, Alma was involved in television production, game and industrial design, product marketing, e-business in the toy industry, and human resources business development. She raised four very active boys who loved coming to vacation in Puerto Rico, and at times, even assist her with welcoming guests and marketing. Alma has been serving on the Marketing and Sales Advisory Committee for the Discover Puerto Rico for the last 4 years. With Renee Acosta, Alma co-founded in 2021 Viva PR STR Alliance, a coalition of short-term rental property owners, professional property managers, and other tourism-related business owners that support this tourism segment. We are so excited to have Alma on our show today.
Sure. Thank you for having me on your podcast. It's a lot of fun to connect with people who are just as passionate about the industry as I am. So my name is Alma Bear, but in Spanish, Alma means soul. And so when I meet people here in Puerto Rico and give them my name, they immediately assume that I'm local, which I'm not, and start speaking with me in the fastest Spanish you can imagine. And I have to like slow them down and say, sorry, my Spanish is just beginning. So,
right. Where are you from originally?
So I spent most of my life in Massachusetts, and we raised four children in the town of Medfield, Massachusetts.
Awesome. That's quite the change down to Puerto Rico, a little bit of a temperature change.
Absolutely, by design.
All right. So, so tell us your story. How'd you get from, well, and just so everyone knows, we actually met at the IMN short-term rental conference in Miami. We were in the women's discussion group together, and then we had dinner together. And so we got to learn a little bit about each other. Kim and you spoke a little bit more than I did just because of where we were seating and how we were chatting. So she learned a little bit more about you, but she adored you. She thought you were great. So tell our listeners, yeah, your story, how you got started, how you ended up in this space, and anything you want to share about vacation rental.
Sure. So about 20 years ago, my husband and I decided today to take a little romantic getaway from the family, and we came for a long weekend to vacation in Puerto Rico. And we stayed at a hotel for the first time. Vacation rentals were not that popular at the time. And we stayed in the Dorado area. It was a Hyatt Dorado Beach Hotel at the time. We stayed there. We absolutely fell in love with the area, the people, the culture, the vibe. And we had such a great time that we decided to bring our kids the next time. And we came, they loved it. And then my husband and I decided, okay, maybe what we should do is just rent a vacation home here for a year, like a long-term rental, and see how we like it. And we did. And then when we started coming, we started using the villa on a pretty regular basis, long weekends with the kids. We were flying from Massachusetts, so it was a 3.5-hour flight, really quick and easy. They'd come with their backpacks. All their clothes were here. We'd hit the ground running. And then we'd be back to, you know, masses of snow in our area. Then we decided that, you know, we really loved it in Puerto Rico. And the owner told us that he was selling the property that we had been renting for a couple of years. And my husband and I said, well, let's do this. We loved the home that we were in. We made an offer. It was accepted. And that's how we started with our first investment in Puerto Rico with that one home.
Oh, that's cool though. So you got to buy the house that you'd already fallen in love with and knew. And that's pretty awesome because that opportunity doesn't come up for a lot of people. You know, they vacation somewhere and they love a place, but the home's not normally for sale. So that's great.
Yeah. And you got to enjoy you're halfway to the four seasons of vacation rentals. You've got the snow and then you've got the tropics.
Exactly. So we bought the place and continued to use it and figured, you know, the place is empty most of the time. And we were very involved in a bunch of different charities in our area, whether it was the baseball league with our four boys or the school or the Asperger's Association of New England, all kinds of different charities. And we decided to start donating about 10 weeks a year to various charities to raise money for them in silent auctions, live auctions. And what we saw happening was incredible because we'd go to these events and they'd start a bidding war. And then they'd turn around to us and say, hey, these guys have now brought it up to like $6,000-$8,000 for a week. Are you willing to give 2 weeks? And we're like, sure, we don't use it anyway. So the word kind of got out about the villa being available. And the same folks or friends of their folks approached us and asked us whether we would be open to renting it to them on occasion. And the most interesting thing is that this business started completely organically. Nobody had a business plan. It was very opportunistic. My background is that I studied design as my undergraduate, so environmental design and industrial design, and my graduate work was in entrepreneurship. So it all came naturally to me to take advantage of these opportunities as they started happening. But there was no place where I said, let me put together a business plan to grow this business. It just happened organically, as I mentioned. So what happened after that was that our place was occupied 90% of the time between us using it and other folks using it. The industry was really at its infancy at that point. The Airbnb did not exist. So we were advertising on the Vrbo platform, which then was HomeAway. And we had a lot of direct bookings just through word of mouth. And then my neighbors in my community started seeing all this activity and they were in a similar situation as I was. They were using their homes part-time and they said, hey, Alma, if you are fully occupied and you have people wanting to stay, in your home. Would you refer them to us? And I said, sure. And that's how I started helping my neighbors in my community rent out their homes. And ultimately, I ended up marketing and managing all the guest services and everything for them. So it grew from year to year in my own community. Then the same owners that are in my community also owned second and third homes in other parts of the area that I work in, which is the Dorado Beach area. So they approached me and I started getting to work with owners that had much higher end villas, luxury villas within the Dorado Beach Resort. And from there to now, I'm managing over 50 beach properties from economy all the way to super luxury.
That's amazing. So a few nuggets there that I want to touch on that I think are really important. So number one, I love more than you know, and if as we'll get to know each other through the years, because I'm sure we're going to see each other at lots of events, you'll learn how near this is to my heart. So you started donating your units and you were doing this altruistically with no benefit to yourself except for to help things that you believed in helping. And what a beautiful way to start sharing your properties with the world, as well as helping the community and helping whatever the organizations were in your situation. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it had to do with Asperger's, which, as I say, is pretty near and dear to my heart. When we started this call, before we start recording, I said to Kim, don't let me forget to tell you something. And you heard me say that. And that's that we just made a job offer to a gentleman with Asperger's that was very nervous about taking the job. He said, you know, I have social skills that I struggle with. And I said, such and such his name. I said, you know what? You have some skills that you struggle with, as do all of us, but you have some other skills that you're way better than the average person at. So don't discredit that. So I think that is so beautiful that you were giving back to the community. And there's a lot of vacation rental owners that don't think about that. We do have an asset that we can give and share and donate to whatever the nonprofit is, whatever the charity is. And so can you talk a little bit about how good that made you feel to be able to share that and, you know, give that gift to the organizations that you work with? Because I think that's really important for people to take note on.
It really felt incredible, I have to say. And it was a combination of different things. Generally, I like to operate in a way that's win-win-win. Like, everybody wins. The owners, the guests, our company, of course, because we have to stay in business. But when you create those kinds of situations, it just flourishes and good things come to you. And so it felt incredible. We got great feedback and it felt really good to give to the community. I do want to touch upon what you said in terms of hiring an individual on the spectrum. So my first employee in the company was a gentleman with Asperger's. He happened to be a neighbor. I knew the family really, really well. And he was quite uncomfortable speaking with people on the phone, but he was quite good at organization. He had a phenomenal memory for dates and could tell me when guests stayed and at different times and what day of the week it was. But that wasn't, you know, the strength that I hired him for. He was just a super nice, responsible, ethical, straightforward, direct guy. And I really enjoyed working with him. I think he worked with me for about 7 years. And he developed, and I saw him develop and thrive and become more confident. And then he decided that he wanted to go back to school. And he gave his notice. And then after school, for years and years, I provided references for him and so on and saw his growth. So yes, absolutely. That was a wonderful aspect of being able to do that for him.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think sometimes people don't understand, you know, we label them as disabilities, but I actually see a lot of these differences that we have as unique abilities. And you brought up another word that I use all the time, which is opportunistic. And sometimes that word can have a negative connotation with it, which I don't think so at all. I think when you see an opportunity, if you don't jump on it, you're crazy, you know, because opportunity only knocks once. But back to speaking of changing the word disability to unique abilities, I think if you find someone that's got a skill set, and in Asperger's, you talked about detail. The gentleman that we just offered the job to, his attention to detail is incredible. And on top of that, I said to him, I said, you know what you can offer me that's more amazing than anything else is you don't have the ability to lie to me. And that's true. They can't.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't. I'm really excited about him coming on board because he's a great human being. And, you know, it's great that he's given an opportunity to probably excel in what it is that we're offering him.
Yeah. And when I finished talking to him today, he stood up and he just walked right over. And this is very out of character for him. And he gave me a hug and he teared up, which is very out of character, as you guys both know.
Oh, that is definitely out of character for him.
Yeah. And he hugged me for like a good 5-6 seconds. And he said, thank you so much. You have no idea how much I struggle. And thank you for the opportunity. And so I want anyone listening to take something from that and know that not only should you be looking at a variety of different people to bring into your organizations, but don't count people out. So Alma, I think that's probably gonna be my favorite takeaway from today. Cause like I said, it is very important to me. So let's talk about the word opportunistic. Cause I use this word all the time. And I think so many of us that go into vacation rentals, like you said, fortunately you had design and entrepreneurship, which you were able to use in vacation rentals, but as you said, you didn't start off saying, I'm going to be a vacation rental homeowner and manager. So talk about taking an opportunity and seizing that and the flip side of people that don't seize opportunities if they have, you know, even taking the opportunity of taking the villa when it was available for sale. I don't know if you were sitting there and had been looking at other properties or if you just said, wait, this is for sale right now. Let's find a way to make it work. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. And I think that there's a bit of a balance here because I like to think about opportunistic as, you know, again, using the more common word entrepreneurial, you know, seizing the opportunities and so on. I totally get that opportunistic has a negative connotation. I would say that there's a risk profile that different people have. And in spite of the fact that I did seize on many opportunities, I also have a very low risk threshold. So it's interesting to talk about that because when I think about what I could have possibly done differently and so on, it would have been to take more risk up front. But that's my profile, that's my personality, and I think I know that about myself. And so I only did certain things within my comfort zone. And I'm now regretting that I didn't push myself a little bit further in that direction. Because what happened in Puerto Rico was that the rental market absolutely exploded in the last 5 years, I would say. Properties tripled or quadrupled since we first came here. Now we're seeing more of a stabilization. But, you know, I could have taken even more opportunities to purchase more properties at the time, which I didn't. So I do have some regrets about that.
Same. I started in Daytona 10 years ago, and I didn't know how to create money, basically. So I knew how to invest in stocks and things, but I didn't know that in real estate, you could find ways to get money to buy things that, like you said, limited your risk because I'm extremely big risk taker, but I also, it's very calculated. So if I'm going to take a risk, I have a pretty good sense of what the reward's going to be. And I wish I would have understood that better 10 years ago, because when I started on my journey, I didn't realize all the various vehicles that were out there to purchase properties. And if I had bought 10 more properties 10 years ago, same thing in Daytona, we've doubled and tripled. And the rental market, vacation rental market is just phenomenal. And it's like, if I'd only known, but that's why we're here. So that's why we're here to tell people, learn more, find out more. And so you can seize those opportunities. And just to clarify, I think opportunistic is a fantastic word. Sometimes when I say it, people just, they kind of look at me. And so I think, I guess they think that's negative, but I think it's a fantastic word that anyone that's looking to grow their life in whatever capacity it is should take opportunities. So you have talked about, I believe you were the driving force and you're married because I met your husband, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been married?
Well, we've been together for 22 years. We've been married for about 20 years.
Awesome. And if, correct me if I'm wrong, and if I am, that's okay. But you were the driving force behind this, correct?
Yes, I was. Absolutely. My husband actually is in a very interesting related field. He is an absolute expert on data analytics in the real estate marketplace. He's actually quite the celebrity in the real estate industry. He created the company Case-Shiller-Weiss, which eventually sold their product, the Case-Shiller Index. And that is like a benchmark or a standard for assessing the value of the real estate market. And it's in the newspaper every day, that value. I don't know if you're familiar with that index, but that was the brainchild of my husband and his partners at the time.
I am. My jaw is on the floor right now for you saying that.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And maybe he can be on your podcast at some point because he's...
I would love for him to be because I love... Yeah. And
we didn't know we had a celebrity at dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's very well versed in this and what he does, and he can tell you more about this, but he's got some amazing visuals and dynamic heat maps that talk about the trends in the marketplace. And he now created, instead of an index on a zip code level, he's created an index for every single house in the United States. So that's a very, very powerful tool for him and certainly can help investors make decisions about what areas down to the house specific level they want to invest in. So I find that pretty cool, but I'm not as nerdy as he is.
I'm nerdy and I think it's super cool. And it makes me feel real excited because at dinner the other night, he said, yeah, Daytona is the only market that he sees in Florida that has an incredibly positive investment outlook right now. And obviously that makes me feel really good because we're here in Daytona. So I didn't realize who was saying that when he said it though. So I'm very excited.
Now we tried to tell him he had to keep that a secret.
Yeah, we did. We did it on the podcast. My bad, Kim. Maybe we'll edit that part back out, right?
We'll edit that part out.
So how long ago did you get started in your investments in Puerto Rico?
So we purchased that property, I would say, like around 20 years ago, maybe 18 years ago. And then I think the business really started about 15 years ago.
And what challenges? I mean, you are definitely in a hurricane zone as well. So are we. So I'm sure that's weather's been an issue. But what other challenges just in the changing space of vacation rental and changing softwares and the different, you know, expectations of guests? Can you tell us that you've seen over the last 20 years?
Oh, sure. I mean, Puerto Rico has gone through just amazing challenges. And this speaks to the resilience of the people here. Just incredible how people have risen to the occasion. We've had Zika, we've had hurricanes, we'd have an earthquake, then we had the pandemic. I mean, it's been everything. And I do have to put in a plug for Discover Puerto Rico, which is our local DMO, Destination Management Organization. They came to be only, you know, a few years ago, but they went through all of these disasters in Puerto Rico and have been able to promote the destination, do a phenomenal job marketing the destination. And I'm in awe of what they've accomplished in the time that they've been involved with Puerto Rico. So that's just an aside. But in terms of Maria, Hurricane Maria, that was in 2017. And what happened after the hurricane was just absolutely incredible. I think we had first Irma and then Maria came and people downplayed Maria because Irma wasn't that bad. At the end of the day, what happened was my husband and I were trying to get back to Puerto Rico in August and our flights kept getting canceled, which ended up really being a good thing because we weren't stranded on the island for the 3 months during the hurricane because there was no communication and it was super challenging. So just to speak a little bit about that, and I don't know if this is of interest to you, but it was very important for our company. We had a couple of guests here that ended up being stranded. They refused to leave in time. And then we also had a gentleman from the from the government side. I think he was with the Drug Enforcement Agency, DEA. I don't know. Anyway, they were a couple of our guests. Everyone else, we gave them warnings and everybody left the island. But those two folks stayed. The government guy said to us, I'm staying because they're going to deploy me in other ways to help here. So don't worry about me. Okay. The other two guys were stranded and they had severe medical issues and they needed to be evacuated. So then our company started getting involved with talking with private charter companies. We connected with JJ Barrera and his organization. And basically what we did was we got into a situation where we were able to get planes to come and deliver supplies and goods and generators and whatnot to the island and then take out people who had medical needs. So we were able to evacuate these two gentlemen that were stranded, but also we had to create the manifest for several flights. And at the time, Facebook was the only way you could communicate on the island. I don't know how that happened. I think something with satellites and balloons, and I don't know. But Facebook was working. So we were talking with folks in Puerto Rico and connecting them with first responders that had satellite phones and kept the communication going and were able to communicate with the people who were stranded to get them to the airport and get them out. And so that was it. That was about a 6-week effort with very little sleep because we were working round the clock. And that was, as you say, that was extraordinarily satisfying because it took our work to a whole new other level where we were literally saving lives. And in some cases, we were able to reunite elderly folks with their loved ones in Miami who then passed away in the hospital. And then we got letters and phone calls saying, you know, I got to say goodbye to my, you know, to my grandma or whatever. I mean, it just took what we do to a whole other level. And that meant so much to us. And the stories like those stories, you know, you don't hear as much about short-term rental operators and you don't hear it in the news when people are only talking about all the bad things that happened during the hurricane. So that's one story I wanted to share with you.
That's a beautiful story. And I think you're right. That's something that's often overlooked in our space is we are in a space of connecting people and in a truly personal way. We get to know our guests. We get to share in some of their biggest life experiences, whether it's maybe a wedding or a celebration of some sort or a situation like you just said, where you're basically saving lives and reconnecting families. And what a beautiful thing outside of just having a business and having a fun place where people can vacation to get to basically be helping humankind in the work that we do. And that's not a dramatization. That's actually, it's real. And so I think that's a wonderful point that you made because short-term rentals do get a bad rap in the news. And it's really, there's some wonderful, I think a lot more beautiful things that come out of it than negative, but you know, the news always likes to report negative. So it is what it is. But yeah, no, I'm very glad you shared that story. So what other things have you seen that, you know, have been interesting to you over the time or things that have changed or ways that you see this industry going?
So obviously there was a lot of change as a result of the pandemic. And when everything shut down, I think March 2020, that time frame, I thought to myself, great, I'm going to get some quiet time off. You know, no one's going to come. Things are going to be shut down. I'm going to get some downtime, which I really needed. And I did for probably 3 months when it first broke out. And then the unexpected happened, which is as soon as people were allowed to start coming to the island of Puerto Rico, people came in droves. All the people who were working remotely, all the people who were homeschooling their children basically said, you know what, if we're going to be spending the winters on our computers and we can do this from anywhere, we're going to do this in a happy place. And so 2021 was an incredible year for us. And we did manage to offer a lot of folks who otherwise would not be able to do this safe and spacious and sunny and beautiful spaces to work in. And I know that there was a real backlash to mental health issues as a result of the pandemic and people being cooped up. And the lucky ones, I will say, like myself, were able to be in places where you could be outdoors safely, where you could be with your family in a large space, and even have multi-generational families stay together in a large space, which you couldn't really do in a hotel. So yep. That was another challenge and another trend that we saw. And I think as a result of the pandemic, people became more and more aware of the beauty and the opportunities of short-term rentals. And so then in turn, people are more open to that, especially larger groups. And as a trend, what I am seeing is larger family reunions. So we're doing a lot of family reunions and people are booking that out about a year. We're doing corporate retreats. We're housing right now a group of 14 executives from a solar energy company, and they're coming from a corporate retreat. They booked 5 villas within this luxury resort, and we're doing everything for them. We've helped them with the transportation, with the catering, with the reservations, with the tea times, everything. And I'm seeing that as another trend and another opportunity to get involved in hospitality on a different level.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah, we're seeing quite a bit more of creating an entire itinerary, basically, for people while they're visiting our location. And speaking of locations, I've been to Puerto Rico once. Kim, have you been to Puerto Rico?
No, I've not traveled to Puerto Rico, but I've had some employees in the past. They're all from Puerto Rico, and they've shown me pictures. It's beautiful. The people are beautiful. Such a great, amazing place.
Well, since we have a Puerto Rico expert with us, can you tell us about the amazing country and what people can expect if they go there? Because most people that listen to us obviously love to travel. That's why we're in this world. So tell us about Puerto Rico and what it's like.
My favorite topic. Sometimes I feel like I'm a missionary for Puerto Rico. So I think that Puerto Rico is a really wonderful blend of having an experience that's exotic in a tropical island. And at the same time, it's an experience where you can seamlessly transition from the mainland to Puerto Rico. And what I mean by that is you don't need a passport. You can come with your driver's license or now the Real ID. When you land, you turn on your cell phone. You can start using your cell phone like any other state in the United States, right? And the currency is the same. Everyone in the tourism industry speaks English. So you get this awesome combination of feeling at home, and yet you have all these awesome, unique experiences that you can have in Puerto Rico. Those are the El Yunque Rainforest, beautiful, great hiking at all levels, from easy all the way to extreme. You have all the adrenaline sports like zip lining and rappelling. Then you have in Puerto Rico a unique experience, which is the bioluminescent bay. And there are 3 bioluminescent bays in Puerto Rico. One is in La Parguera, one in Fajardo, and one is in Vieques. And I should mention that Puerto Rico is comprised of the mainland, and then there are 2 islands, Vieques and Culebra, which are also very much worth exploring. So you have the rainforest, you have the beaches, and in the center of the island, you have mountains, and you have incredible vistas, wildlife, ecotourism. You can basically have any experience that we can help you design when you come to Puerto Rico. We've helped folks who were interested in farming and in like chocolate or coffee tours. You can do that. And of course, we should mention Old San Juan. Old San Juan is gorgeous. The architecture is incredible. There are 2 large forts there where you can learn about the history of Puerto Rico. Fabulous dining. I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah, no, you're right. We did the bioluminescence in Fajardo. And Kim, I know you've been wanting to do the bioluminescence so bad. So I'm sorry to tell you how amazing it was. But we did it one evening. We took kayaks out. And it was surreal. It was like you're on another planet. It was just so beautiful. And the food was fantastic. The people were incredibly kind. We had a great time when we were there. We went to Old San Juan and we stayed at a vacation rental, of course. And it was just a really lovely experience. And the people were just, can't say enough good things about them. So I agree. It's a wonderful place to visit. And if people do go visit, give them the name of your company so they can book with you.
Oh, sure. I didn't put that up front as, when I introduced myself. So the name of my company is Paradise Villas and Vacations. And awesome. The easy way to get to my website is www.govpvv.com, which is P like paradise, V like villa, V like vacations.
Awesome. Well, and I think it goes to the point of how much we love what we do, because the first thing you wanted to talk about was how great this space is and how fun it is for people. And to all of us, the marketing of it is really secondary because it sells itself. It's such a wonderful industry to be in, right? So a few things before we end is what would you tell someone that was thinking about getting into the vacation rental space and had some hesitancies, whether it was just being nervous about trying something new or nervous about coming up with the money to do it? Or what would be your advice to someone that was thinking about it and didn't know what to do next?
Well, I think that's an interesting question given the current times. So I'm going to say actually proceed with caution a little bit. And I think you really need to look carefully where you are going to be investing. There are a lot of things we didn't even touch upon this yet, but there's the regulatory environment right now, which is very challenging. So you definitely have to do your due diligence and find out what areas that you're targeting. What are the regulations there? Are they stable regulations? Are you going into a place that's unregulated but maybe regulated? That's something you really need to do a lot of due diligence on. And then in addition to that, overlay that, just looking at the competitive set in your marketplace, whatever town or location that you're looking at. If you're looking at a beach destination or you're looking at a skiing destination, wherever you're looking at, you really have to do a good competitive analysis. And this is so contrary to everything I told you about how things happened for me. But at the time, I was really out there in the wild, wild west. There was no mentor for me and things just happened and I seized on the opportunities and in some cases got lucky. And now I'm contradicting myself in a way by saying you actually have to do some research. But because now we're in an established industry, right? And we know the big players, and we have a lot more data than we used to have. So yep. I would say know your market, understand the regulatory environment, and know that and think about what are the reasons that you want to get into this. You know, are you in it as an investor that's going to be hands off? And are in the business, you know, just to see a strong return? Are you someone that's truly and genuinely interested in being on the ground and offering hospitality? What is your role? What role do you want to play in this? And then you have to create a team that's going to support whatever your goals are.
I think that's great advice. And it has changed. Again, I started 10 years ago, and even then it was still wild, wild westy and zoning and the regulatory environment was so different than it is now. So I think we're definitely going to have to invite you to come back because your story, first of all, it's fascinating. I learned a little bit about you in Miami, but this has been amazing. And I truly appreciate your insights and sharing your story. So I definitely want to have you come back on again. And we're also going to invite your husband, of course. So
can I just add one other thing? Because this might be a separate topic for us. And maybe you'd bring in additional speakers on this topic. But the regulatory environment is very important. And while we were under the radar in terms of not being a huge industry in Puerto Rico, there were very little rules and regulations. And now that we are almost head-to-head with the hotels in how much we're generating in the way of room tax for the economy here in Puerto Rico, now we're on the radar. And just this fall, folks came out from the different municipalities trying to regulate. Now there's a project from the legislative arm that's on the board, some of which is extraordinarily restrictive. So that is something to be on the lookout for. But as a response to that, I connected with another individual. His name is Rene Acosta, and maybe we can have him on the call as well. He's an individual property manager. He has one gorgeous property in Vieques. But he and I teamed up and we created an alliance for the folks in Puerto Rico because we had zero voice here. People were just doing whatever they were doing. They had no idea about the market or, you know, the operations. So we created an alliance, which we call Viva PR, Short-Term Rental Alliance. We also have a website. We are up now close to 400 members. And we had our very first conference in the convention center in San Juan this fall as well, which was perfect timing. And it was a huge success. Folks learned a lot from it. It was called Rebook. And it was our first foray into that market, into the convention or conference market. And we teamed up with a group that was doing all the logistics for the event. So that didn't fall on us. So again, just as a tip or a couple of points I also want to say, if you don't have an alliance in your market, think about that. Think about getting involved in an alliance so that you do have a voice. And the other part in terms of tips is if you do have a destination management organization that's supporting your area, I would highly recommend getting involved with them, knowing what they're doing, leveraging joint promotions and things like that. So I'll leave you with those thoughts.
Great, great, great advice. No, I think those are all great tips. So at the end of every podcast, we ask a few just fun questions, and they're just interesting things that we like to ask of people. So I'll do the fast four questions for you. The first one is, what would be a dream place, and maybe you've already been there, but a dream place that you'd like to travel, again, whether you've been there or not?
Oh, I have so many that I want to say. Well, I want to travel. I've heard amazing things about New Zealand and Japan. So the two places that I want to travel to that I've never been to are New Zealand and Japan.
Awesome.
And then in terms of places that I've been to, I would say Santorini and Grindelwald, Switzerland.
Oh, interesting one. I've never heard that one. So that's awesome. Okay. Second thing is, outside of travel, is there anything left on your bucket list that you have to do? And if you've completed it, that's okay too.
I think I want to get more involved in the education side of life, basically mentoring, sharing some of my learning experiences. So I think that is something I still want to explore, and it hasn't evolved yet what that's going to look like, but something to do with education.
Awesome. Cool. If you could sit down with one person and ask them whatever questions, doesn't matter what the questions are, alive or not alive, who would you want to sit down with and pick their brain?
My mom.
Your mom?
Nope. My mom. Yep. I would say my mom.
Awesome.
She's not with me anymore. So that's why I would pick that.
Our last interview was with one of my favorite vacation rental investors, who is my mom. So I appreciate that very much because I have a very close relationship.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice.
And then the last question is, one piece of advice that you would tell the younger you?
I would say, listen more.
Good advice. Good advice. Well, Miss Alma, you have been amazing, and I want to keep talking to you more, but we limit our podcast, so that's the only reason why I'm ending this now. Because sometimes you talk to people, and their stories are so fascinating that you just want to keep learning. And
yes, and you seem to have so much passion for this space and what you do and the area that you do it in. It's just, it's amazing to listen to your story and just hear about, you know, the love that you have for the area that you're in and also for this industry.
Yeah. And you and Kim could share tips with each other on Excel spreadsheets.
We love our Excel spreadsheets.
Awesome. Well, thank you so very much. Again, tell everyone your website one more time so that when they go to see Puerto Rico, they can come see you in one of your spaces.
So the company's name is Paradise Villas and Vacations in Puerto Rico. And my website, the shortcut to the website is www.gopvv.com, which is G-O-P as in paradise, V as in villas, V as in vacations.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We hope 2023 is your best year yet.
I hope you guys enjoyed hearing from Alma as much as we enjoyed talking to her. If you're thinking about going to Puerto Rico, go check her out. Go visit her at Paradise Villas and Vacations. She left the website at the end of the show, but it's also in our show notes, as well as additional information about how to reach out to Alma and go spend some time in paradise. But until then, remember, wherever you want a vacation, whatever you want to accomplish, whatever your dreams are, you got this.